Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
All right. Is everyone ready?
Oh, I don't know. What about a burger?
Why not a salad? You said yesterday you're craving one.
Does anyone really crave salad?
What kind should I order?
Gopher Garden. Light dressing. Healthiest choice on the menu.
Sounds perfect.
So, make that two, my good man.
Going with this episode of Narbos and Broomheads, I wanted to make a couple of promises to our listeners. I'm never going to give you up. I'm never going to let you down. Well, I might. I'm never going to run around and desert you, at least until we decide to stop doing this stupid podcast. Never going to make you cry. I am going to say goodbye. We are going to say goodbye later. Or we hardly knew ye, or bye, or but we are going to say bye. And
that's hello, actually.
And never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. Hi everybody, my name is Alan, Slip with Five Eyes on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok, all those social medias. And I'm with our almost regular gang of hosts this week to talk about Degrassi the Next Generation season 3 episode 10, called, get this, Never Gonna Give You Up. Before we get into it, though, let's go around the horn and see who's here. And let's go up to the ho and the big O. Let's do it.
I put the ho in the big O. That's me, Courtney, the ho. I'm appearing.
Uh-huh.
O-10. And actually, Alan was just up here to visit me not long ago.
Well, when people are listening to this, because we're recording way ahead of schedule, I visited you about 5 weeks ago, technically.
COVID.
Okay.
Yeah. COVID.
Yeah. What about COVID? Fine.
It wasn't really necessary to correct that. I said not long ago.
Oh, like, yeah. Not long ago, everybody. Not long ago.
No. Edit. Edit. Yeah, Alan joined me up here along with his woman, Sarah, and we went for a lovely dinner in downtown Ottawa. Yeah, it was really nice. We went to a restaurant called, I don't even know if you call it a restaurant. It's like an outdoor canteen, and it's called Tavern by the Falls, and we overlook the Rideau Falls, and it was actually beautiful.
Sounds fancy.
We got in just as the sun was setting and the sky was pink. They lit up the falls red when it got dark. Yeah, it was
so romantic. Was then we had a threesome. It was just one of those nights.
You always beat me to the punchline.
Oh, are you? That's where you're going? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened. I just told them what happened. I'm sorry. I spoiled the ending.
You're so direct. Yes, we had a threesome. It was okay. A little quick. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, no, it was great. And it felt a little like normal. And yeah, looking forward to more of that. And the only other thing I need to brag about is that I got Blue Jays tickets.
Oh, yeah.
For August. So I'll be down in Toronto.
Technically, this comes out in 5 weeks, so you had Blue Jays tickets.
Oh, God. I saw the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Never mind.
That is awesome, though. I mean, honestly, like, get the normal in while you can.
Exactly. I mean, they are only allowing 15,000 fans in a stadium that has a capacity for 50,000 fans. So it's still going to be pretty sparsely attended, but they're only, like, I think they're only selling seats for the 100 and 200s. Regardless, I'm so fucking excited. I was so excited. It was great.
What was the score of the game?
The score. Yeah, that's a tough one. In any case, yada, yada, yada. It's things are looking up in Hoedown, and I am here for it. Let's head west to our newest homeowner, Harlow.
It's me. It's Arlo coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan. You can follow me on Instagram at @ArloeScott. And I don't think I have anything new going on.
Yeah, just the house, that little thing.
I mean, it's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It is
a big deal. That's what I'm saying. That was the whole joke.
Oh, it was very stressful. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it too much because I talked about it last week. But it leading up to the moment of closing, it was very, very stressful. Especially, I was buying from family because, I mean, we wanted to buy this house and we happened to have family that owned it. So we didn't use a real estate agent. So that was very stressful because there was no like liaison for between like us and the lawyer and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of stuff, a lot of back and forth and a lot of stuff I did not know that I needed to do and stuff like that, that usually gets taken care of by a real estate agent. But on the bright side, I saved the money on the real estate agent.
Which,
was it worth it?
For a house in Regina, it's probably about $5,000. In Toronto, it's like, you know.
Oh my God.
$100,000.
Yeah, my down payment was $5,000. My house was $100,000, if you must know, which you could do the math on.
What?
You know, minimum down payment.
Your house cost $100,000?
Yes.
Oh, what? Holy shit.
I know, you can get great houses here for not that much. If anybody wants to become a fucking slumlord, now's the time. Mm-hmm.
The iron is hot.
No, but that's just in any real estate market, having a house for that 100 grand is pretty crazy, isn't it?
Well, it is in a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
It's like, on the outskirts of a good neighborhood, but it's also on the outskirts of a bad neighborhood. So we're like right in ghetto light, but, you know, there have been murders around my house and stuff. But it is a three-story house, so...
Was the stipulation that Fancy had to live there? Because I would watch that show. If you filmed that reality show,
she lives in
I would watch it.
We leave her up there till we rent her out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
makes sense. So we're heading over east, far east.
Far east.
All the way to China.
To Middle East.
Do not speak with a Chinese accent, please.
And here it comes, down the pipe. You know, I am Ted, and I'm way over here on the east coast of Canada. And also, never going to give you up, Jam, but also in his Rick Astley's repertoire was the two Together Forever. That was a banger.
Uh-huh.
Remember that back in the day? Together forever and ever, two part. You're like, yeah, I'm at Cub Camp. That's a good song.
Together forever. You'd hear it on the radio. With you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jam. He's a good guy.
J-J-J-J-J-O-M.
Mm-hmm. That's me over here with Rick Astley Corner and B-Sides. It wasn't actually a B-side, I don't think. I think it was a hit.
It was a hit.
It was a second hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Second
hit. So that is I. And yeah, I'm the last one in this. What's the one more than trio? A quad of people?
Quo.
A quo.
Or quartet.
The technical term is quo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quartet to the layperson.
Well, let's get this quo started tonight.
Now, it's been a while since you had been on. We didn't talk about it last week, but do you have any vaccine news since?
Oh, yes, I have been vaccinated. I feel stronger than ever. Very angry. I guess it's a microchip. It's making me crazy. Yeah. No, I got vaccinated. When did I get vaccinated? In July. Very early July, I got my second shot, and I was very glad to have it.
I was going to say, we are still in July.
Yes, but not when this airs, yeah. Arlo.
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah, I got vaccinated like 2 months ago, dummies.
Got it.
So dumb.
Yeah. so we all can now hug each other and lick each other, so it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
we did hug, but we did not lick Alan.
We did hug. Actually, you were, besides Sarah, you were the first person I hugged besides her in like the last 10 months. So
yeah,
that's why I had a little bit of a boner when we
hugged. I was going to say. Yeah.
Did you also hug Sarah, Courtney?
I did. Okay. Of course.
And then I
was
looked
wondering
on
if she was a hugger or not.
I looked on angrily like Rick in this episode. I was like, what's that?
And then he's like, he wrote me later. He's like, I think you should only see Sarah during school hours.
Yeah. How long have you known Sarah?
Yeah. So,
I have two things to say before we get into this show. One, I meant to reference last episode, but I didn't. I think we all follow the Edison Twins Instagram account, I believe, which is a fucking one of my favorite Instagram accounts. And they posted a clip from the movie The Challengers the other day. And I didn't know anybody else knew about that movie except for me, but it stars the chick from Rose Avenue. Does anybody remember that movie? No, not Sarah Polley, the older sister. I think her name's Felicity on the show.
Okay.
Huh?
Felicity.
Anyways, none of you saw The Challengers, the movie?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. That's what I was more expecting. So when I saw them share this clip from The Challengers, I was just like blown away. Mm-hmm. So this chick, the girl from Rhodes Avenue, wants to fit in with this group of dudes, but she's a girl, so she can't. So she pretends and she dresses up like a guy. And instead of being Mackenzie, her name's Mac. And then they have a band together and she sings I Wear My Sunglasses at Night. Anyways, it's really good, and it really made my week.
Nice.
And I wish some
of
you heard about the movie.
Of Just One of the Guys. Has anyone seen that 80s movie?
Well, we're really hitting home runs here with the movie references.
I know,
references.
God damn it. Anyways, I was
okay, Courtney, you go watch Just One of the Guys. I will go watch The Challengers. We will reconnoiter back here.
Okay. I don't even know if you can watch The Challengers anywhere. And then the other thing is, it's the fucking Olympics. I forgot to mention that.
Space.
I don't think anybody gives a shit about the Olympics this year.
Could not give a fuck.
I love the Olympics.
I love the Olympics.
And I know that, like, on a moral, like, yes, we shouldn't be spending all this money on sports when other people are starving and da da da. Like, I really do. Like, I understand that I shouldn't like it on like any kind of, you know, moral ground, but like, I can't help it. I love it. I love watching it.
In a normal year, I'd watch it. It's just this fucking bullshit COVID Olympics. Like, we'll see if they get through it. There's no fans. Like, we'll see.
I understand why a lot of people aren't into it and why a lot of people think it shouldn't be happening. Obviously,
it's wildly irresponsible.
I was just going to say, like, on the flip side, like, some, and I always think this way, like, some athletes, you know, it was supposed to happen last year and they were training their asses off for it to happen last year and it got postponed. And so they trained for another whole fucking year to do this. And I just feel so bad for them. You know, this is some people's last shot at making an Olympics and just to have it be in such shitty situations. Like, I don't know. I just feel for them that it really sucks.
Fucking testing positive for COVID left and right. Like, they're not welcome in the country. There's protests against letting people in. Like, it's just like, this is wildly irresponsible.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I agree with all of that. I just also sympathize with the people who have, like, busted their asses. And it's not their fault that it's so irresponsibly held. And they could have moved it, or they could have, I don't know. I think there's probably a number of ways that they could have.
Well, do you guys remember when the Olympics was every, like, it wasn't, like, interspaced every 2 years. It was every 4 years.
For both of them, yeah.
Like both summer and winter both, the same year. They could have just fucking done that. Nope.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so many problems with the Olympics. So many moral issues I have with them and stuff. But I don't
know. But I love it so much. It's like
me
Disney.
Too. I mean, I prefer winter, obviously. I think most of us do. But
a 10-year-old slip was so into the Olympics. And like, I had a VCR and I was like, I'm going to record clips from the start to finish and I'm going to have this tape forever and it's going to be the greatest thing on earth. And then fucking Ben Johnson, like,
ruined.
And I was just like, even when I was 10, I'm like, I'm fucking done with these Olympics. Like,
you're so betrayed.
Yeah. The worst. So,
yep.
Yeah, if you don't know what that is, by the way, and I think most people, I mean, our age and older will know what that is because it was a worldwide story, but, you know, the champion sprinter from Canada who set the world record before the Olympics and then again at the Olympics was on steroids and got completely disqualified and like...
Well, and, you know, Canada, like, we have so few sports heroes here. Like, you know, we get... Compared to the United States, we get so little glory kind of thing at the Olympics that, like, these, like, gold medalist athletes are, like, it's a really big deal. They're so inspiring when you're a kid. And then, like, this was just, like, wah, wah.
And then, and then Donovan Bailey kind of made up for it, not only in the 96 Olympics, but even greater when he had that race with... Michael Johnson at Sky Dome.
Oh, Michael Johnson.
And Michael Johnson pulled up, and then they interviewed Donovan Donovan Bailey after, and he's like, he didn't pull up, he's chicken. I'm going to kick his ass again if he runs against me. It's like a Canadian heritage moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's also remember that Ben Johnson also took advantage of his cheating scandal by being a spokesperson for an energy drink called Cheetah.
I cheat all the time.
I cheat all the time.
God. Yep.
So don't feel too bad for him.
He did that.
I guess I should also say we like it's not that Canada doesn't have great athletes. It's just we tend to have great athletes in like sports that aren't viewed as glorious.
Like hockey.
Like it's like rowing or like curling.
Hey, rowing is glorious. Curling.
Curling is glorious is AF.
But it's you that know is. Those. You know, 100-meter sprint, like that kind of thing that really gets all the juices flowing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, on that note,
for lack of a better term, I'm sorry, everyone.
Degrassi, The Next Generation, Season 3, Episode 10. It's called Never Gonna Give You Up, airing in Canada on November 19th and in the U.S. on December 12th, 2003. For both of those, written by Yan Moore and Craig, brother or cousin of Chris Cornell, and James Hurst, directed by John Bell. The song is named after a Rick Astley tune, which was released on my birthday in 1987, 1 year before Ben Johnson broke my little heart. The two things about Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley that you should check out. Number one is... The music video is amazing because his dancing is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily mean that in a good way, but I don't really mean it in a bad way either. The other thing is there is a whole Wikipedia article on Rickrolling.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'll just read the...
I did not know what that was till way too recently.
I'll read the short version here. Never Gonna Give You Up is the subject of a popular internet meme known as Rickrolling, involving misleading links, commonly shortened URLs, redirecting you to the song's music video. So basically you send somebody and be like, oh yeah, that's cool, check out this link, and then you click on it and it's the fucking Rick Astley video. So
it was like originally Rickrolling. It was like connected to like Grand Theft Auto 4, I think, like, the trailer came out for it, and it, like, crashed the internet, so people started uploading, you know, various other links or whatnot, and then one person on 4chan linked it to Rick Astley, and that's where it was born.
So, good for you, Rick Astley. Made a lot out of that. So,
well, and Rick Astley kind of rose to fame. He was supposed to be like the little white guy with like the black man's voice because he had such a low voice.
The genres for this song, as per the Wikipedia page, are dance pop and blue-eyed soul. So,
there you go.
What? That's what I was saying.
Also called White Soul. So you can, yeah, you can guess what that is.
Yep.
Get your juices flowing.
Get out your boiled peanuts.
Well, and he's, if you've never, I mean, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this podcast does know what Rick Astley looks like, but if you don't, like, he's very baby-faced. Like, he's like this, like, young baby-faced, or he was at the time of these hits. He's probably a little older now.
Good guy wrestler.
Not to be confused with babyface.
Yeah. Not confused with a heel.
So... let's just go into this episode because there's a lot to digest here. Let's just talk about it. I mean, it's not good. All right, so Never Gonna Give You Up.
Did you know he was a bad biddy going into it?
Oh, no. When did we get introduced to Rick? Was it a couple of times ago or is it?
It was a few episodes ago when he was leaving roses on Terry's locker. Was trying to figure out who her secret admirer was. And at the end of that episode, discovered it was Rick. He's a little bit shy, so is she. They begin a relationship.
Okay, I knew nothing about this guy. I didn't know this guy had existed. When you started the podcast, did you say a guy shows up and then leaves again, or was that Craig? I can't remember. Like back when you were at episode, I don't know, 15 of like junior high.
This is not you him. Oh no.
Okay.
Rick is going to be around. God. Rick is going to do things.
Oh, fuck this guy. I hate this guy. Just seeing him leaving the roses, I was like, I don't like this guy.
And again, for our listeners, like, Ted, you honestly don't know what happens with Rick, right?
This is the latest episode I've watched. The furthest I am in this universe is today.
I mean, I'm going to try my best not to spoil it, but it's all over my notes.
I do know parts that are from friggin' YouTube, and it has like screen, you know, those screen caps, you know, that one of like Marco looking really sad,
yes,
and stuff. So it's like, okay, I can put this together, and I don't want to, but fuck this guy.
So
yeah,
in the last episode, they were a B plot where him and Terry ended up kind of meeting and getting together, and they were both so happy. Now the next time we see them is here. Things are fucked up like right away. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Again, such a leap.
Yeah.
That's a leap. They could have made this a B plot of another episode.
Yeah.
And at least given a bit more of a lead up.
Yeah. But, like, give me, yeah, exactly. Like, give me a little bit of something before we get to this awful stuff. So.
Well, yeah. I'm not like during the episode, they talk about loving each other. And I know, like, when you're in junior high or high school, like, things kind of can be a little bit accelerated when it comes to like telling someone that you love them, but yes. Like how much time has actually passed here? Like, or have they been dating 2 weeks and they're like, I love you, or are we talking like they've been together like 2 months? Like, I'm a little unclear on
let's say there's 22 episodes in a season, 10 months in a school year, 2 episodes per month. You know, and we've gone 2 episodes. So let's say a month.
I'm not so bothered by the leap to the love thing. Because like you said, people like that age, love doesn't mean anything, right?
I was just curious, like how long time has passed before like bad behavior appears. That's more what I was questioning.
Well, that's what I meant by a more of a plot development, like developing his personality a bit more,
yeah,
into like you kind of barely even know him, and then all of a sudden he's what we learn in this episode.
Well, there's two things, right? Number one is that he's prone to violence, and number two is that he's a fucking weirdo. And we live in this universe where all the guys seem to know it and all the girls don't, which is interesting. And I mean, again, especially Terry, but like, well, we'll get into it right away. They come into the gym at the start of this episode, because Miss Kwan can't conduct her classes in the classroom. It has to be in the gym. And
is this now drama class? Like, yeah. I feel like it's not English class anymore. It's drama class.
Sure. I mean, it must be, I guess.
Can we say? Like, I don't know.
Sure, let's call it drama class. That's cool.
We had drama class in high school, so it could be. It just seems like a little far removed from English class, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, it's... people are writing plays and yeah, they're doing scenes. So let's call it drama class. I can live with that.
Okay.
So Rick puts his sweater on the gym floor and is like, a seat for you, m'lady. And like right away we show Marco rolling his eyes. So it's like everybody around this situation is immediately,
even Marco,
yeah, is like
the gay romantic.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss Kwan tells the class that they can do scene studies, and one group is going to do a play that Marco actually wrote. So Marco tells his group afterwards that he does not want to direct. And this group, by the way, is Marco, Drake, Hazel, Terry, Rick. So he says,
are the other groups just doing random scene study?
I think she's probably assigned them scenes.
Okay.
So Marco does not want to direct because he wrote it. Drake does not want to act, so he says he'll be the director. And again, Rick is like, well, theater's in my blood. My mother walked the fucking, I don't know what he said, something at Stratford.
Walked the boards at Stratford?
For 10 years. And Drake is like, fuck you, you can stage manage.
And again, I found it odd. Like, they give such precise, unnecessary detail. Like, they really didn't need, like, Marco didn't need to have written this scene or whatever. Like, once we get through it, you could see that, like, the way that's set up, it could have happened if they were just acting any old scene.
I mean, Miss Kwan said that he was, like, a budding poet or a budding writer or something like that. So I'm questioning about whether we'll see this part of Marco's personality going forward. And maybe that's why. It's just, like, it's a breadcrumb.
I guess. But it's just, you lay that breadcrumb, yet you make, like, we were just talking about this, like, massive leap from, like, Rick to all of a sudden super violent without any...
Yeah, that's true.
It's just weird how they pay attention to detail to some things and then not others.
Yeah. And Rick says to Drake, maybe I can teach you some tricks of the trade. And again, everybody in the room is like, what's with this guy? Except for Terry and, to a lesser extent, Hazel.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, Rick's character is very familiar to me. Like, he, to me, like, besides the violent tendencies, but just, like, this, like, bullshit, like, I, like, blowhard personality, this is familiar to me. I know this person.
We both know probably the same persons, because we worked in many, the same call centers together, and there are...
I know, like, and I know people like that to this day, and, like, to the credit of the writers and the actor, like, I know this person. This person is familiar to me. They're, like, so, one of those pain-in-the-ass fucking blowhard people.
So do you think you'd have both sides of it? Because I have met this type of guy before, but the part that was missing was, like, this type of guy would be really cowardly around any other dudes. Like, would never, like, face off against, like, because he faced off against Drake and, like, puts in his word, like, usually they would be like, not say anything, but then take it out on the girl, you know? I don't know, maybe that's just my experience.
I've always asked the question, so, you know, I've met people like this when they're in their, like, 20s, let's say, so they fucking behave like this, everybody around them knows, like, it's not like it's an acquired taste of awkwardness, like, it's everybody mm-hmm. knows. And I'm like, it's the saddest part is, like, do you not have somebody in your life that, like, tells you, like,
clues you in?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I wonder, like, are they, has someone ever coached them or, like, brought them in on the whole situation? Or
no,
are they just
nobody
always
says
lived,
anything.
Yeah. Like, obliviously to, like, you're fucking bizarre, dude. Like, and you make people uncomfortable. Well, anyways, mm-hmm. that's him.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, and also, like, I find him in a way, not because he's so familiar to me and so many people that I've met in my life, I find him less distasteful than, say, Claude. Like, Claude, I just see him and I'm like, ugh. Yeah. With Rick, I'm like, I see you. I see where this is coming from. I see the insecurity in you having to show exactly how great you are. And
but again,
to me,
like,
personally, he doesn't, like, I don't recoil from him as quickly as I recoil from someone like Claude.
But again, they played Claude's storyline out a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
They developed his character and we got to see him over time. Like, this time they just turned him into this creep.
I also, honestly, like, I kind of feel the opposite. Like, I mean, Claude is, But like he was more for me because we knew where the story was going. When you see Claude in the first couple of episodes, like his behavior in like socially is still like kind of normal until we get to near the end. Like you know, whereas like Rick is not like it's Claude doesn't make everybody around him cringe until he gets to near the end of it, right?
I mean, he makes me cringe.
Yeah, because we know what's happening there. But anyway,
I draw the parallel more between Rick and Scott from the original as opposed to Rick and Claude.
I think Rick is more, maybe it's just the actor, a more charismatic person, even though he's awful.
So Drake casts Marco as Ray, Hazel as Nurse May, and Terry as the female lead. Terry's very excited about this, and I'm like, okay, it's a school project. There are three parts. She's so excited. She hugs Drake, but Rick sits there pouting. So again, like when Courtney hugged Sarah, that was my face. she sees this and says, like, she sees him pouting and it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't play the lead. But he's like, you'll be brilliant. And the stage manager says so. And they hug. And so we get the show opening. And then we have Marco in. He's on stage. He's in a bed and they're doing a scene. And he's like, mama. And we have to hear this so many times throughout this mama. Episode. Mama.
So he gave mama. Himself a stereotypical Italian accent.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Good job, dude.
So Terry comes over.
He wrote this.
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
Mamma
mia.
He's like, bringing me a pizza. So.
Okay. Yeah. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. It's like, Marco, Jimmy's like, relax, man. Like, it's too much.
Hey, so, bada boom, bada bing.
When you're here, your family. It's like, no, that's Olive Garden, dude. Like, jeez. Too much.
So we're gonna
get back in bed.
We're gonna get into this throughout the episode, but I may as well just say it now, right? So this is Terry's first boyfriend. There's issues with confidence, etc. So we're gonna deal with Terry having some blinders on, both to how she behaves and how he behaves. But like, we make her so fucking stupid in this.
Yeah.
In this episode, right? Like, she's not an idiot. There's a difference between being in love and being an idiot. And I find that they really push that boundary throughout this episode.
Yes. She gets spinnered here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I think also the idea is that, you know, they've developed her character as, quote unquote, like the fat girl, right? Like, we've explored that part of her character. She's self-conscious about how, like, her weight and stuff. And I think this whole storyline is obviously exploiting that, right? Like, it's her first boyfriend. She doesn't have self-confidence, so she's more likely to fall prey to his psycho behavior.
So
in some ways, I think it would have been like a more powerful message if it was like a confident, like a typically confident girl who just like really wanted somebody to like them and continue their relationship and followed their bad advice.
So she comes over and she says, yes, son, I am here. So she's really bad at acting. Drake stops them. She says she's nervous. And Drake tries to give direction. But Rick steps in and says, just keep breathing. Just keep breathing. So, of course, again, because Terry is stupid, the way they've written her, she takes a large breath between each of her lines. And it's like comically bad. Drake and Marco look unimpressed. Because again, they are aware of the situation and everyone else is oblivious because they're smart. I don't know.
I seriously thought she was going to breathe so much that she was going to take a pratfall off the stage and like crash through a table. I really thought that was actually coming. I was like, that's totally coming. It's going to be a breakaway table and she's going to take a bump through it.
Yeah.
But never came, unfortunately.
Drake says that they have some work to do, so they're going to meet at the Dot after school. And Rick, which conveniently I misspelled as Dick, tells Drake it's hard being a first-time director, but you'll get there. And I'm just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we go to our B plot. Spinner tells Craig he's on probation at work. I guess he's working at the Dot because his first customer complained. And Craig says the guy ordered a ham sandwich and was brought a hamburger. And then I wrote, who the fuck orders a ham sandwich at a restaurant? Yeah.
No one under 100 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they turn the corner. They're in school. They turn the corner and there is Paige and JT and they are yucking it up in the hallway. Spinner is not impressed and Craig doesn't understand why Paige hangs out with JT. So Spinner explains Paige had a hard time last year. JT was kind of there for her. And Craig says, well, JT doesn't owe you anything or you don't owe anything to JT. So tell him to fuck off.
Yes, mm-hmm. I must get rid of her rape friend. Mm-hmm. Who helped her through her rape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Yep. So Spinner approaches JT and Paige. He throws JT aside to talk with Paige and tells him to run along and join the other children. So JT starts copying what Spinner says and Spinner gets irrationally mad.
Which I think is hilarious. Just oh my God. Thing. It's so like the lowest common denominator, but it's just like it's so effective. That's great.
You know what drives me crazy? Like seriously? Like we're yeah. doing this? So he's about to give
No, I just like that's like a 6 year old game. Like the copying words,
yeah.
The echo thing. That's not a high school thing.
But then he's doing it like to Spinner, who is like me animal, you know, like he doesn't. So he reacts really poorly. Like I think JT definitely knows it's childish, but he knows that Spinner's so stupid that he will fall for it, you know?
So Spinner's about to give him a pounding and, but then Paige is looking at him. So I would have loved if he'd done it. Like, what was it in fucking Back to the Future where they like, Biff gets caught like about to beat up George McFly and then he like fixes his hair. It's like,
yes.
Yeah. So, but anyways, he tells Spinner, JT tells Spinner to cut down the red meat and Spinner asks Paige when he's going to cut his lapdog loose. And Paige is like, well, why don't you try bonding with him? And then we see that Spinner has an idea. So
light bulb.
Hi, Jinx.
So Rick and Terry are chatting and Rick says, how long have you known Jimmy? And she says, oh, pardon me, Drake. I don't know who Jimmy is. she says, since the 7th grade, he asks if he's a good friend. And she says, yeah, I like him. And he's immediately jealous. It's just like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck. Yep. She says,
oh, yeah. Like his facial expression just goes dark.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, not like I like you. And she says, you make me happy. He says the same thing. They kiss each other on the cheek. I fucking hate it. I hate the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Drake sees this whole scene and he is grossed out. He tells Hazel that Rick creeps him out. And Hazel says it's sweet because only the guys notice that this guy's a fucking weirdo. And she says, it's Terry's first boyfriend, so deal with it. And then Snake starts the class, and we see that Terry is doodling a heart with Rick inside the heart.
I feel like the girls are just like, well, you know, that's the best Terry can do.
Oh, totally.
Don't you think that? Mm.
Yes, it's like my fat friend has a boyfriend. It's not that they don't notice.
They're just like, oh, well, you know, she's, you know, kind of chunky, so.
She's a plus-size model.
That's the best she can do.
Yeah. She should just be thankful somebody likes her. So
for real.
Yep.
I don't think it's not that like that the girls don't notice. It's just that they like accept that like Terry's on a lower playing field.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So we're at the Dot. Rick tells everybody about the 3/4 rule. He says basically Arlo,
this is kind of true.
Arlo, do it. Yeah, tell us.
This is kind of true. It's particularly true. We always say it's the magic angle with my burlesque troupe because, I mean, it's not like a hard and fast rule, but it's true. Like, the audience wants to see your face. They don't want to see your profile.
Yes, when I go to a burlesque show, expressive. I'm looking to see your face.
Dude, it's prettier. No, I'm it's here prettier. For the faces. Yeah. You don't want to see just full side boob. You want to see
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
Three-quarter boob.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So yeah, generally speaking, like it's called cheating. Like you have to cheat the audience. So like when you're actually if you were actually talking to someone across the table from you, you would definitely be like straight on looking them in the face. But like if you want the audience to be able to see you and hear you, you have to cheat it slightly.
Mm-hmm. Well then.
So I mean, it's true. I mean, this is actually it's true. Obviously the way that he's teaching it is not the way that it should be done, but it's very true that in stage plays, dancing, all of those things, a lot of things are cheated slightly to the audience so they can see things better.
Drake is skeptical about this advice, but Terry is absolutely beaming. Again, hate so much. Spinner comes to take their order, and Terry orders a burger, but Rick is like, how about a salad?
Fuck.
Got it all in there, yep.
Yeah. He's like, you were craving one yesterday, and Marco asks, who craves a salad? But she's like, no, like, which one should I order? And so he picks for her, and then he looks
garden, at... the worst fucking salad.
Yeah.
The worst of all the salads.
With low fat.
Just ordered lettuce.
Dude.
Yeah. And then he says, make that too, my good man. And again, Spinner...
I guess in his fucking defense, he gets the same thing. It's not like he's like, you have a salad and I will have a burger. That would be cool.
But again, so Spinner and Drake and Marco are all like, the fuck is with this guy? And Terry and Hazel are just like, this is normal. Or maybe. Maybe Terry's like, this is normal. And Hazel's like, that's the best you could do. So, it's great.
Gotta put up with it.
Yeah.
Chubby.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of people talking weird to other people, the next day at school, JT says to Manny, you're looking lovely as usual. When does JT talk like that?
What's this old timey courting business this episode?
Hi there, Manny. Top of the morning.
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past JT, though. He'd be like, hey, Manny. Like, it's JT, right? Like,
So have a bag of boiled peanuts. I know that was off. That was off air, I believe.
So, Radich comes up.
Just for our listeners, I earlier asked off air if anyone had boiled peanuts. And Ted said, no, I never lived in the 1930s. That's what we're talking about.
So we're going to get some poetry here. So again, our poets out there, if you want to add some poetry later, please do. Radich comes up to JT and says, I found this note under my door. And then he reads it. Roses are red, violets are blue. My name is JT York, and I love you. P.S. Love the pants. JT's like, It's a joke. Like, I didn't do that. And Radich says he's relieved to hear that. So, also stupid, Mr. Radich. Because, like, come on.
So stupid.
Yeah. Like, he saw the note and he was like, oh, this child wrote me a love letter and signed it with his name. That must be legit. Like,
who?
I must invite him for Portuguese chicken sandwiches.
And it's just between Radich and JT. Like, that's not funny. There's no audience.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Stupid.
So JT opens his locker, and there are photos of Mr. Radich with hearts on them. So he gasps and slams the locker shut. Radich, who is walking away, is like, is there a problem with your locker? And JT's like, no. So Radich leaves. And Spinner then shows up and tells JT he should actually lock his locker. And Spinner says he's male bonding and says if JT stopped hanging around with Paige, he wouldn't have to. So, yay. At rehearsal, Marco...
Stop helping my girlfriend with her rape.
Exactly. Yeah. At rehearsal, Marco calls on Terry to do her scene. And Marco calls out to Terry, Mama! It's a me, Marco. So Terry walks to him. She is facing the audience. Drake is like, what are you doing? And she's like, the three-quarter rule. So Drake asks to speak with Rick. He takes Rick aside and says, I appreciate your help, but your tips are getting in the way. And Rick is like, examples?
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Drake's like,
shoot you at this point.
excuse me?
Nothing.
Drake says, the breathing, the three-quarter rule, he says he'll go and talk with, Rick is like, I'm going to talk to Terry. And Drake is like, no, I will, because I'm the director. And Rick looks so mad.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
He looks
fuming.
He's like, I'm going to shoot you. So.
What's that? What?
Nothing, Ted. Never mind.
It's in my earphones here. I don't know. Maybe I got a glitch. I'm not sure.
It's reverb.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's reverb. Okay. Good. Good to hear.
So Paige is with Spinner, giving him shit about the poem, and then we get like a slow motion scene of. I guess they couldn't pull this off in real time. So yeah. The idea is that JT runs by. And Spinner is wearing tearaway pants, so JT tears them off, and Spinner is in his getch. But they do it in like slow motion.
Tearaway pants are still a thing or popular, but like at the time, there was like these track pants that had snaps up and down the legs, and I'm assuming that they were originally for athletes, and then kind of came into the mainstream as being fashionable. So we assume that Spinner was wearing these tearaway track pants.
Yes.
So he gets his pants taken away, and that's the big joke, the retaliation by JT. Rick is complaining to Terry about Drake. He's like, because I'm the director, can you believe he actually said that? Yes. Terry apologizes. Rick says it's not her fault. Drake is a control freak, which is amusing for Rick to say, and that Terry does not have to listen to him. And Terry's like, well, yes, I do. And Rick is like, yes, you do. He is the director. And like, what is that? Why are you both so fucking stupid? Like, what is this? Like,
and again, this isn't even like a school-wide play. This is a class.
Yeah.
Assignment.
Yes. I don't get this. And then he's like, a novice director that doesn't know what he's doing. Terry stops him, and then he says to her, I just don't want you to embarrass yourself in front of everyone. But yeah. But Drake's the director, though. You have to listen.
And it just, again.
She's like, but I'm so stupid. Like, I'm going to totally embarrass myself. And I'm so bad.
But this does, like, it has a lot of similarity to the Scott and Kathleen storyline, right? Because Kathleen tries out for a play and she doesn't make it.
Scott does also tell her that she is untalented.
Yes.
Well, first he says, it's okay you didn't make it because I love you.
A plus B equals C. There you go.
It's very clear.
So now we have the actual presentation of the play to the class. Terry is doing the scene with Hazel, and to start off with, she seems to be doing well, but then she looks over and sees Rick looking dejected. So she faces the audience and she starts with the breathing, and it's like, again, it's like, well, I'm fat, so I guess I better do this.
Well, everyone's immediately laughing, and I'm just like, would you, like, first of all, like, I don't know that it was obvious that she was being a bad actor. Like, I would just be like, is she having an asthma attack? Like, do we need to call an ambulance? But immediately the entire class just starts laughing at her distress.
Yeah. So they're laughing. Drake looks mortified. Terry realizes that she's getting laughed at. Rick is confused. Terry runs off the stage. She's in the hallway crying. So then Rick and Terry are walking outside. Rick oblivious to everything that's happened. And so Terry stops him as he's chatting and says, are we going to talk about what happened in theater class? And he's like, well, things were fine. And she's like, no, I looked like an idiot because of you. I should have listened to Drake. And
is he just like, well, they didn't understand art? Like, is that what's going on in his mind?
I think he's oblivious.
Or is he just like, she fucked it up? Like, is like, I told her to do something and she just did it wrong. Like, I'm not sure what his.
I don't think he noticed like the laughing, the embarrassment. I don't think he noticed anything.
Mm-hmm. He was just like happy that she did what he said.
Yeah.
So we're both incredibly stupid people, but we should be able to figure out what the fuck happened back there.
It's not like he doesn't compliment her. Like, she follows his direction, which ultimately obviously gets her laughed at. But even at the after, and they start getting in this fight, like, he doesn't reassure her and be like, no, you did what I told you. Like, you're like, you did it the right way.
Positive reassurance, Rick. It's key.
He's just like, I see no problems with that scene. So he gets mad at her. He grabs her wrist and he grabs it hard, and he's a psycho. And he says, let me make one thing clear. I don't like that tone of voice. It makes me feel stupid. And Terry is obviously very afraid and tells him to let go. He eventually does, with like the most dramatic letting go of a wrist ever.
Like, yeah. Like, he just got his hand set on fire and he's like,
he takes his hand off and he like flashes like the five, like, oh.
Yep.
Yeah. And he still has his
Booker D style.
Yeah. He still has his angry face though. So we are now the next day at school. Terry arrives on the bus. Rick is waiting for her and gives her flowers. And he says he flew off the handle. And she, at this point, is trying to blow him off. And he's like, no, Drake is the problem. He has a thing for you. And that's why he cast you as the lead. And Terry says, well, we're friends. And Rick says, no, Drake is single. And so, again, it's like, just fuck this guy. Like, go away. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. But Terry says Drake doesn't like her that way, and Rick says Terry is beautiful and sweet and talented, and can't she blame him if he thinks another guy is into her, which is like the most psychotic kind of, you know, like, compliment. It's like, you're just so beautiful. It's, can you not see why I wouldn't want to lose you and think everyone's after you? Like, ugh.
And then again, like, the subtext here, again, I think, in my opinion anyways, is that, you know, she's portrayed as the fat girl. So she's like, someone called me beautiful, so I'm going to disregard everything else and all the warning flags, because that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. Mm. So she takes the flowers, and I guess they're happy at this moment. Also happy about this, Hazel and Paige in the washroom see the roses. Terry says Rick is a romantic, and Paige is like, yeah, he's a romantic with a disposable income, so that's even better.
Right?
Yeah, she asks Terry to come over and fill her and Hazel in on the relationship. And Terry says, I have to check with Rick first, which does not seem to raise any alarms with Paige and Hazel.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, I think Paige is like, oh, he's obsessed with you. He probably won't have a problem or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it doesn't even, like, raise any issues with her that, like, a 15-year-old is like, I got to check with my boyfriend to see if I can hang out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, to be fair, like, sometimes when somebody asks me if I'm doing something, I'm like, oh, let me just check with my husband to see if we have anything on.
Okay.
Like, it's
okay, but you're married.
I'm not, like, asking 40. Him for permission. I'm in, like, just, like, sometimes I forget that we have made plans, so I'll check with him. So maybe, I mean, this is more in like Paige and Hazel's defense, that to not have it raise a huge red flag.
Mm-hmm. Hazel sees the bruise on Terry's wrist and asks about it. And Terry says it's from a volleyball serve. And this is finally the first moment where Hazel's like, might be trouble.
There is actually a deleted scene on the DVD as well. I think later on, Hazel is talking to Jimmy. And it's, again, extended scene, so part of it is cut. And she specifically says that, like, she said it was a volleyball serve. Like, how often would you say that you've seen, like, a volleyball serve that would bruise like that? And Jamie was like, you know, like, it happens. And she said, but we haven't played volleyball in gym for over a month. So, just FYI, because I'm trying to, like, it seems like Hazel, like, immediately knows that there's a problem. And it's just like, dude, like, maybe it is a volleyball serve, but like, there is some background there as to why she's so suspicious.
So we have Spinner approaching JT at his locker, and he says, I want to apologize. And JT's falling for this, like, yeah, we're cool. And as they're talking, mm-hmm. Craig sneaks up behind JT with a speaker, like a little portable speaker, and puts it into JT's locker. And so then Spinner leaves. Manny comes by, and JT tells her once again, you look lovely today. And then we hear a fart noise, and then another fart noise. And again, everybody is stupid because Manny's like, well, those are legitimate farts coming out of your ass. Like,
legitimate farts.
Yeah.
Illegitimate fart.
It's just like, how could you possibly think that that's real? Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Manny's kind of crazy, so
she's not too bright.
Yeah. So JT's like, what? No, it's not me. He's looking through his locker frantically. She's like, oh, gross, and walks away. And he eventually finds the speaker and sees Craig and Spinner laughing. Yeah.
Which is stupid in another level, too, because if you were JT, you would take that speaker and in front of them, smash it on the floor.
Yes.
And no more speaker for them. And you go, oh, that was a costly, stupid prank, where he could actually go to Manny and say, hey, this mangled speaker, yeah, they were doing it. And then it's like, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's a stupid prank. Yeah.
Rick is cleaning up the set in the gym, and Terry asks him about hanging out with Paige and Hazel. And he's like, so I can't come? Like, I just can't. Like, I fucking just
can't. Is it because you're going to talk about me?
You're just going to talk about me. Are you going to talk? Are you going to pick up guys? Are you going to... Are you the three of you going to suck one dick or three dicks? Like, he's just so fucking... Yeah. So she's, of course, like, no, like, we're not talking about you. We're not picking up guys. He's like, well, then why can't I come? Like, so
yeah.
Terry says, Rick, you're being crazy. And he slaps her and says, don't ever call me that, even though he just proved that she is correct.
I mean, slaps the shit out of her.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine a slap hard enough to make your fucking face bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you had something in your hand. Like, that is a slap of slaps.
Yeah. So he apologizes, but she leaves the gym. And of course,
they were outside when he slapped her.
No, they're in the gym. I think.
Yeah, that's later. Yeah,
they're in the gym.
Oh, that's later. Sorry. Sorry.
You're getting your abuse scenes mixed up.
Yeah, sorry, don't slap me.
Yeah,
that's easy.
Wrong, Courtney.
So now we're back at the dot because we need more quote unquote comic relief. And Spinner goes to wait on a table, and it's JT. He says, "Oh, you're here to eat, JT. You're not, you know." And JT's like, "Why would I want to cause you trouble at work?" And he proceeds to make a complicated order, which I didn't write down.
Oh, it's stupid.
I'm going to get a sandwich. I want it sliced diagonally and this kind of mustard.
Like, I want a hot dog, yeah. But take the sesame seeds off and mustard on the bottom bun, not the top. Hold the mayo, lots of ketchup.
Which, like...
So, as someone who's worked in kitchens, this pisses me the fuck off.
Uh-huh.
Like, fuck you. You have a problem with the waiter, so you're making it more difficult for the fucking kitchen. Fuck you, JT. Fuck you. Sends it back three times. Fuck you.
Yeah, you should have put some special ingredients in his food.
Show you some corn relish.
Yeah,
they actually do a good job here because I actually was so pissed at JT. Like, I was...
This is foul play. This is foul... Like, any time with anything, like, going to someone's workplace...
Oh,
to fuck with them, like, that's off limits, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's next level.
Yeah, sure. No.
So Terry is telling Paige and Hazel about how Rick made dinner for her at their girls' outing, and she's just all happy. Like she went from being slapped to going to this. And, like, I don't know. It doesn't... I know she hid the wrist thing, so, like, that's one thing, but, like... I don't know. I just, for some reason, like, she was just like, she went right from one to the other and is just all of a sudden like cool. And I don't know. I mean, I know it happens. I don't want to discount it, but
I think it's just like, you know, she's going over there specifically to dish about her relationship. So she gets there and you get Hazel and Paige who are like, oh my God, Rick's so amazing. Tell us all about him. And then, like, she's just kind of like, yeah, he's amazing. Like, I kind of get it.
But she's, at the start of this, that's the thing, right? Like, she's not even, like, unenthusiastic. It's, like, literally, like, nothing happened the way that she's talking at first.
I mean, I guess she just wants to, like, she wants to fit in, right?
Yeah.
I think the point of this part of the storyline is just, and it's true, is that, kind of to highlight that, you know, abusers can get away with a lot of stuff by, you know, following up their abuse with really nice shit.
Yeah.
Right. And the victim will fall for it and excuse their bad behavior because
Terry really wants to be the girl who has the boyfriend. The girl who has the great boyfriend. She wants to be the one that like Paige and Hazel are jealous of because she got flowers. Or whatever. She wants to be that girl.
Exactly, because she's so often seen as, you know, the fat girl, the girl that doesn't get the guy. So she probably is more willing to overlook it because she wants to prove that. Yeah. So it's a super realistic storyline. I'm not sure how well it comes off, but I get it.
So Paige leaves for a moment. Hazel asks Terry, like, there are no problems at all. Terry says, sometimes we fight, but only when I hurt his feelings. He's so sensitive. Hazel sees the cut on her lip and asks about it. Terry says it's a cold sore.
He only hits me when I make him really angry. He wouldn't have to do it if I didn't make him so angry.
Terry says that the thing on her lip it's a cold sore. So gross. Hazel asks about the wrist again and says, what's this? And she says, like, you would tell me if he was hurting you. Terry gets mad and says Hazel is jealous. And then Terry says, nobody loves you and he loves me and you want to take that away.
Whoa. What?
She'd be like, no one loves you, not even your parents.
That line made me laugh.
Yeah.
Nobody loves you.
Nobody loves you.
And he loves me.
Yeah.
And you're not Jamaican. At all.
Like, the guy at the Jamaican restaurant loves me. He gave me like $150 worth of catering for free.
Jerk chicken. And you're being a jerk. And so on and so forth.
So she leaves, and as she's leaving, Paige comes into the backyard and sees her taking off. We go back to the bullshit at the dot. With Spinner bringing food and JT saying, take it back. And then JT knocks his spoon off the table and tells Spinner to get him a new one. And finally, we get into the JT copying what Spinner says thing again. So Spinner grabs JT, but the manager is like, ruins everybody's dining experience. And is like, come to my office now. They shout across the restaurant. So they're not getting a good Yelp review from anyone in there.
No.
Nope.
So Terry is walking home, and when she arrives, Rick is waiting there. And she asks what he's doing, and he says, I wanted to tell you something. And she's like, now's not a good time. And he's like, I wanted to tell you that I love you and you're special. And at this point, she is blowing it off. She says, that's really sweet, but I need to be alone. Because I just had a fight with Hazel.
Yeah, she cites the fight with Hazel, not that she's mad at him, though.
Rick says, I'm not surprised. We should make a rule where you only see Hazel and Paige in school.
Yeah, because that's what we should do right about now.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Good solution.
Yeah, Terry says she needs to go think, and he says, about leaving me? And she says, I don't want to, but you're suffocating me. And then he shoves her into a garage, which it was quite a shove. I don't think it was as bad as a slap, but he does shove her.
It didn't draw blood.
Yes, and I mean at least when he shoved her, the garage was there to catch her fall. Well, hopefully there's a garage later.
I don't know what that means.
So he apologizes immediately, and Terry is finally done and is like, that's the last time you'll ever touch me, which Jan Moore wrote this one. It's almost like he plucked the line from Kathleen.
Yeah.
And she walks away.
If you love me, why do you hurt me?
I feel like whenever there's a very special episode of Degrassi, it's like a, like Jan Moore has touched it.
Jan Moore. A blessing.
Yeah. So we have Spinner, who sees JT at school. JT says he wants to apologize, and that Paige told him that Spinner got demoted. Spinner is now washing dishes. JT says thanks for humiliating me in front of Manny and asks for peace. He agrees not to crowd Spinner and Paige, and Spinner agrees not to treat JT like garbage. They shake hands. Paige walks up and is happy about this truce. And then Miss Kwan comes up to Spinner and reads a poem that Spinner supposedly gave her because, ha ha ha, and she's also stupid.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Drake tells Terry to tell him if Rick ever bugs her again. So I guess Terry has now told everybody about what's been happening. Terry says she feels stupid, and Hazel says, you'll find a new guy when you're ready. So,
yeah. I find it interesting that she was just so open about it.
Yeah.
She was just like, yeah, so guess what? My first boyfriend beat me up.
Mm-hmm.
Totally sucked.
Yeah.
Your mom's an alcoholic. Your boyfriend beat you up.
Yeah.
Oh, who's this blast from the past?
Yeah, so...
Hi, Rick. Hi, Rick.
So she tells Hazel that, you know, she says, it's, you know, I know it's not good, but I still care about him. And Hazel's like, well, you have to stop that.
Yeah. Ta-ta.
It's like, oh, okay, got it.
Yeah. Done. Oh, good advice. You're right.
I didn't think about that before.
They see a rose on her locker, and Terry grabs it and then sees Rick looking at her from afar, from what I'd like to call the Emma position, where she's on the other side of a glass door just staring.
Yes.
And she says, I know I have to forget about him. And she drops the rose and steps on it.
Yeah, and gives it a little spin.
Yeah.
With the ball of her foot, like.
Giving Rick the old stink eye the whole time.
And then they all pull down their pants and poo on it. And they're like,
yeah. Okay, I didn't get that on YouTube, but I guess if you said
sorry,
you
deleted
so.
Scene. Yeah.
That was the deleted scene, for sure. Where they have a group shit.
And Rick walks away looking like a psycho. And I mean, you know, slapping and pushing Terry. I mean, at least we've seen the worst of what Rick's going to do in the series. Right, everyone?
Yes. Yep, it ends here.
Yeah. He got his comeuppance, and he will turn
mm-hmm. the peak of his bad behavior. It's all gets a lot better from now.
He goes to see the guidance counselor after this and gets the help he needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now Ted's looking through the glass door at three of you guys going, something's going on here. I'm in the Emma position now.
And then we all start shitting together.
Don't do that.
The Degrassipedia, the one, like there's a bunch of stuff here, but actually there's a good one here. This guy says, well, I guess you could say Terry, and then he says, pulls off his glasses, got Rickrolled. Ow! So it's a CSI Miami reference, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it.
But I do like that they've pointed out that that they have the Rick reference. Like, it's not only a Rick Astley title, but it's about Rick. So good for them.
Oh, yeah.
And then another person wrote my favorite lyric from the song, which is, never gonna give, never gonna give you up. Never gonna give, never gonna give you up. So... anyways, that's basically it from the
I love the hot takes on Degrassi Wiki.
Oh,
like, sometimes I read the comments and I'm just like, this was important enough to you to take the time.
Open your laptop.
Fucking make a comment.
Yeah.
Log in.
And usually you have to like create an account to make a comment. So you have to create an account. Verify your email and then comment this bullshit. My favorite comment still stands. What kind of name is Dale?
Yes.
Of all time.
Fantastic.
So good.
So final thoughts.
Oh.
Great. I just can't stand Rick. I really can't stand Rick. It's just the whole thing. The look of him, the sound of him, the actions. It's just, I guess that's good because it's really like getting a response from me as a viewer. But I'm like, fuck this guy. He's the worst. But yeah, but everything else great. Courtney?
Yeah, I will say again, they cast him really well, right? Like he has a really creepy vibe. That part was excellent. I'm just disappointed in the storyline and the lack of development of his character. I think it could have been a lot better than it happened. But I mean, what can you do? And I also wondered about the choice to name him Rick. Like, as you know, there's already a pretty prominent character in the original series named Rick. Mm-hmm. And they obviously, I assume, knew that when they were like, what should we name this guy?
My son is also called Bort. Yeah.
I just always, like, of all names, there was already a Rick.
Yeah, but I mean, two people can have the same name.
No, I know that. It's like you're a TV show.
In the original Degrassi, there was an Emma, and then in this one, there's an Emma. It's like,
shut up, Alan.
What?
And the one in this version is a real pill.
No. I don't know. I just feel like there's a million names. You could have picked another name.
What would you call
that's
them?
That's just my shit.
I think Rick could have benefited from more friends. He reminds me of people that I've worked with in kitchens who think that they fucking know everything. And they come in and they're just like, well, I know exactly how to make a bechamel. Blah, blah, blah. And it, like, at the beginning, they just irritate the fuck out of you. Because you're just like, this fucking guy fucking thinks that he knows everything. I just want to punch him in the fucking face. And then after you've worked with him for like a month and you get to know him and you get comfortable enough to just be like, dude, shut up. You're so full of shit. Mm-hmm. And like just having that like release of telling someone that they're so full of shit. Like, and I don't know if it's just like a Canadian sensibility where like we don't tell each other to shut the fuck up before we've gotten to know each other a little bit better. But like, I think that it could be beneficial for someone like Rick to get checked a little more often.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part about that story is every annoying person you've worked with is like, rah, 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 rah. I love the voice.
Sorry.
I just like wish they would have given him more of a background. Like he comes into the show, he has no friends, like no history. Like just,
yeah,
it's just really shitty. They could have made a little bit more effort to develop his character.
It was very quick. Now, I did recently rewatch Napoleon Dynamite, and I really wish that Rick was giving stage pointers to Jimmy, I wish Drake had have stood up and did the thing that the bully does to one of the kids and like grabs him by the back of the neck and keeps pushing his head down like back and forth, back and forth. I really wanted that to happen to Rick, and I couldn't help but picturing it the whole time I was watching it going, just fucking do that.
I was just bothered by how we don't really draw a line between lack of confidence and pure stupidity. Like, again, you can show Terry not feeling confident. That's one thing. But she does things here where you're like, this person isn't smart. Like, why is she so flat out dumb? And again, like, we've never, I don't know. I just, we've never, they, you know what, honestly, and I mean, without spoiling where it goes with Terry, they just fucking, like, did her dirty the whole way through her run with Degrassi. Yep. Seriously.
I think we're just supposed to believe that she so desperately wants to have a boyfriend.
Yep.
That she's just
being fat is so
willing
horrible.
To do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like being fat is the worst thing ever. So you're willing to just become a complete fucking tool because someone shows interest in you.
That's the real lesson of Degrassi.
It is. The real lesson is don't be fat.
That's what Damn it! I didn't learn.
Me neither.
If you weren't fat, this wouldn't happen to you.
I'm here with Aaron Martin. Don't be fat, okay?
If you're experiencing fatness, you're not alone. Call this number.
You know what number not to call? Pizza Pizza.
All salad, salad.
Well, on that sweet and understanding note, you know, I actually, the next two episodes, which are a two-parter, I actually watched them about maybe 6 weeks ago, and I have to say, like, not looking forward to watching them again. We're gonna watch Holiday, a two-part Holiday.
Celebrate.
Yeah, except it's about Christmas holidays, so.
Aww, I love Christmas. Yeah.
Well, maybe these episodes will be great. We're gonna see.
Let's just replay our review of the Christmas episode of.
I will. You know what? You're right.
It's gotta be better.
They are better than that episode. The worst episode of Degrassi ever. Yes.
Except one of the best of our podcasts. That was fantastic.
So the big question that everybody's asking for next week is. Will Barry come back from the dead? We will see.
I never saw a body. I saw a big red swirl that I'm assuming was blood.
So,
or can he shoot long treats out of his wrists? Possible. Or his eyes.
Pew, pew.
I don't know.
Please send us any tips, anything. If you've seen Barry, send us that intel.
Yes.
We have to find him. We need to know what happened to him.
So until then, I guess I'm going to say, bye-bye to everybody. Bye.
Bye.
All right. See you next
time.
Bye-bye. Long tree.
Don't be fat.
I just said I don't get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe it would.
I would walk around the cafe, just to get to my dreams.